Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest today is Jared... Oh, wait. Tell me, is your name Zycheck or Zycheck?
Zycheck.
Zycheck, okay. Our guest this week is Jared Zycheck. He's the owner of GoldenAgeFigurines.com, which produces limited edition hand-painted resin figurines of selected superhero, science fiction, and horror characters from the Golden Age of comics. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing really well. It's been a while since we last spoke. You were on an episode of the Gweek podcast last year, and it was so much fun talking to you, not only about like your art and your creations, but how you've really taken advantage of the way that the whole kind of DIY disruption of organizational advantage. You've learned how to market your work. You've learned how to prototype, how to fund, all that kind of stuff. It was really a fascinating discussion. And so I'm going to have a link in the show notes so people can listen to that, where you talk a lot about kind of the process of starting a business online and using all these really powerful kind of system tools to make that happen. This time, Kevin and I are going to talk to you about some of the actual tools that you use. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about the PASH AEC Air Eraser Etching Tool.
Right. I actually just got this last week, and I tested it over the weekend, and thankfully it works well, so I can talk about that. I think it's PASHE is how it's pronounced.
Okay.
It's an air eraser, basically a mini sandblaster. Mm-hmm. It costs about $50 on Amazon. And you can get cheaper knockoffs like at Harbor Freight, but from what I read, they don't last as long.
Okay.
So it's better to get an American-made product that'll last you like 10, 20 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what do you use it for?
Well, I got it specifically for finishing 3D prints, you know, resin 3D prints, because even the best 3D prints have traces of layering usually. Mm-hmm. And it can be quite challenging to remove it without hurting surrounding detail, especially if you have like an organic type sculpt, like say you sculpted a woman's dress and you don't want to obliterate the folds. Mm-hmm. So I loaded it with baking soda, and I think I put it at about 40, 45 PSI on my compressor. And I sprayed it, and it worked pretty well. It removed most of the layering, you know, without really obliterating the surrounding detail. So,
it's sort of like what people would normally think of, like sanding something, but instead of sand abrading it with little grains of sand on paper, you're it's like sandblasting it, but with baking soda instead of sand.
That's right. That's right. And you can also use aluminum oxide powder. And if you get the more deluxe version of the tool, it'll come with a little tin of that stuff. But that stuff is toxic, so you have to wear like a respirator and goggles.
Mm-hmm.
The baking soda, you can kind of get away with just a dust mask, maybe.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So do you do this outdoors? I mean, because there's going to be like baking soda all over the place.
Right. I did it near an open window because we live in a townhome and my neighbor gets irritated when I make noise out on the patio. So, but it worked all right. It didn't get too messy in my office slash workspace. So
this is particularly, as you say, useful for 3D printed stuff, which usually has a little bit of traces of the layers. And so anybody who's making things with 3D printer might benefit by having this and kind of making a smooth finish at the end.
That's right. It's specifically good for like, you know, sort of the higher end prints you would get from like a multi-jet printer, like a ProJet 3500, which Shapeways uses for their frosted ultra detail material, and also a SLA printer like the Form 1 Plus by Form Labs. I don't know how useful it would be for it, for a more typical hobby 3D printer like those FDM printers, because that layering's pretty severe.
I see. Do you normally do you print yourself, or do you send everything out to a professional printer?
I send everything out. I mean, for a while there, I really wanted to get a Form 1 or something similar like that, but I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting, and I listened to a fella, and he wished that we could just like lease this equipment because it's changing so rapidly. And like, if you sink like $3,000 in a device, it could be obsolete in a year or two. Mm-hmm. So I've just sort of held off. And one thing I've discovered recently is 3D hubs and Make XYZ, which connects people like me with people who have printers. So it's, you know, these people have their printers idle, and and these websites sort of mediate between people who want to get a print and people who have 3D printers. And with the Formlabs printers, a lot of people have bought them, and it's sort of driven down the cost of getting a pretty high-quality print done.
And so is your recommendation of if someone wanted to do a figurine, is you use Formlabs or Shapeways? Is that your kind of – would you recommend those places?
Sure, you know, to start. I guess it really depends on the size. Like for the smaller figures I've produced, like they're about 3.5 inches high, I try to get the absolute best – resolution. So I actually found a guy through Make XYZ who has a ProJet that's printing at 16 microns, which is better than Shapeways. And he usually requires, like, you know, at least $120 order. But for me, mine was only like $60, but I guess he just wanted some business. So he printed it for me and it came out beautifully. It was it's a printer up in Oregon. So I'm finding deals through these sites, you know, and I recommend people check them out.
That's cool. Really cool. I love that idea of finding people, connecting up with people who have higher end 3D printers and having them do it for you.
Right. It's a little bit of a market match. That's cool.
Because home 3D printers are still kind of finicky, I think.
They are. Yeah. That's one reason I kind of held off from buying it, because I was reading some, you know, I go on the Formlabs forums and people have some real difficulty with them, and it seems like they're always getting parts replaced. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to deal with that. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of your thing. You are like kind of the master of outsourcing and finding things online to enable you to create this kind of one man business. I love it.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. Cool.
So tell me about your 3M Acryl White Glazing Putty.
I've been using this for about a year. It costs about $16.50 on Amazon. It comes in a very large tube that'll last you for several years. It's similar to Tamiya White Putty, which is a very nice, fine filler putty, but it's much less expensive. And it's ideal for filling small holes, scratches, and other surface defects on resin 3D prints. It has a quick drying time. It dries in about 30 minutes. It can be sanded very smooth, and it blends well with the surrounding surface. It also has low shrinkage.
So do you put the glazing putty on before you use the eraser tool, or is it after?
I'm working right now on a large statue, a 12-inch statue. And in this case, I did the putty first because it had a defect on the back of the head. And then once I wet sanded it to really, you know, fine smoothness, and then I worked on the face with the air eraser.
Okay. So this looks like useful stuff that could be used for more things than just figurine sculpture.
Sure. You know, if you're, you know, an artist or somebody who works with plastics, you know. Because a lot of this has to do with finishing plastics.
Does it come out of the tube with the consistency of toothpaste?
I'd say it's a little thinner.
Oh, thinner. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little thinner. You have to apply it in thin coats to avoid trapping air bubbles. Mm-hmm. And it smells terrible. So you need a well-ventilated area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. It sounds like the more useful a material is, the worse it smells. We were talking to a previous guest about some kind of acrylic welding stuff that he loved, and he said it was kind of knocks you over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us, you have a polishing compound and buffing wheels that you wanted to talk about.
Right. So I found this on PJ Tool and Supply, and I think the website is pjtool.com. It's the polishing compound, all-purpose polishing compound, the blue color, and then mini buffing wheels. The polishing compound costs $6.25 for like 14 ounces, which is quite a bit. And then a 1-inch buffing wheel is $2. And these buffing wheels are for like a Dremel tool.
Mm-hmm. Are they made of felt or something?
Yeah, they're, you know, if you've, like when I was in shop class in like junior high, you know, the big buffing wheel they have on mm-hmm. You know, it's like that, just a miniature version.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to come like with a standard Dremel tool. You have to kind of seek it out. You can find them on eBay or at this particular website. And this polishing compound, it works really well on plastics, on resin 3D prints. And it should be, you know, you take the buffing wheel and you stick it into the block of polishing compound and get some on there, and then you apply it to the prints you're polishing. And you got to do it at a low RPM, and you should wear eye protection. Because if you do it at a high RPM, you can burn the plastic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the wheel... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
The wheel, it can catch on small protruding details. Like I was working on a figurine and it had a finger that just went flying. And so these small details can break off. And if you have like beige carpeting, they'll be lost forever. So for this last, I did a figurine of Space Hawk, a character called Space Hawk, and I actually did it in my bathroom. I have like a small bathroom upstairs where it's enclosed, so mm-hmm. if stuff went flying, it was easier to find.
That's great.
So you make your figurines by starting, do you make a clay sculpture first and then 3D scan it or turn it into a model to be sent to be printed, or do you just work directly in a modeling program?
Strictly digital. Okay. So I use Soft Image XSI, which is now defunct. So they're not going to make any more versions of that. I also use Sculptress for like organic sculpting. And then I use this other tool, a program called Moment of Inspiration. I just started using this. I think it's called Moi or Moi 3D modeling software. I just downloaded a 30-day trial and used it to mm-hmm. create a ray gun for this large statue I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like a very stripped-down version of Rhino. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar yeah. with that. It's like a CAD yeah. modeler. And the uh-huh. guy who made Moi used to be a developer for Rhino. And it's just really, you know, I'm not really familiar with CAD programs. I work with stuff that's used for making games. But it was pretty intuitive, pretty easy to use, and you can really quickly create mechanical and man-made type hard surface models like guns, planes, mm-hmm. robots, cars. And it has a very useful Boolean capability where you can add and subtract, combine objects quickly. Mm-hmm. to make complicated mechanical shapes, and then you can apply nice fillets and chamfers mm-hmm. to the edges. It's just something that's harder to do with like a polygon modeler like Soft Image. I really like it, and I'm going to buy a copy soon.
And where does the classics like Tinkercad and SketchUp fit into that spectrum?
I don't use those. My impression is Moi is more powerful than SketchUp, even more powerful than SketchUp Pro. I don't know. I've done Google image search on SketchUp, and I see more architecture type stuff. I don't see a lot of complicated, like curvilinear stuff, but mm-hmm. maybe it's improved. I don't know.
Okay.
It, I've been looking for some kind of like organic 3D modeling program to make like little, you know, like urban vinyl type characters and stuff. But it's just really hard. The learning curve to get started is really hard. Is Moi3D something that you think would be that you would recommend for someone who doesn't know a lot about 3D modeling?
Well, like I said, I would use it for hard surface modeling, like like vehicles and guns and stuff like that. For organic, like character type work, I mean, Sculptress is free, and you can tinker with that, and it's pretty easy to use. Then there's something called 3D Coat, which is similar. There's Mudbox, and then I think the king of all of them right now is ZBrush. It's super powerful, organic sculpting program. And you can actually also do some hard surface work in there, though I don't think it has the precision of a dedicated CAD modeler. Go ahead.
And ZBrush, what's the price range for a lot of these programs?
I think ZBrush is like $700, but it also has a pretty steep learning curve. It's a hard program.
I know. I tried it once, and I gave up.
But Sculptress is pretty easy. That's the one I use. So
cool. Okay, I'll definitely check that one out. So Jared, tell me what's the latest figurine that you're working on?
Well, I kind of went on hiatus from doing the little figurines. The last thing I sold was a small model of Space Hawk, a science fiction character by Basil Wolverton. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted to try to make a large version because I've had a few customers ask me for much larger type statues. So I'm making a 12-inch statue of the character with a different gun, because in the story that I'm basing it on, there's a panel where he has a totally different weapon. So I kind of wanted to change, you know, make it distinct from the smaller version.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm busy preparing the files to be printed on a Formlabs printer, because it's about for the price and the level of detail, it's a pretty good bargain right now for making a large 3D print that's relatively affordable, good surface detail. And so I had the head printed. That's what I was working on recently, and I didn't want to print the whole thing and then find out it wasn't good enough. So I started off with just the head. Uh-huh. And it's good enough. So I'm going to have the whole thing printed probably this week, or at least get the job into somebody. And it'll probably take about 2 weeks to get printed, and then I'm going to finish it and get it ready.
Cool.
For production.
So are you just making one copy, or when you say get printed, are you having multiple copies made?
I'm just having one made. And I might survey my customers, because there's not a huge number of people who want this, so I'll ask how many people want one. I know there's at least probably three people who want one. So.
And so you do it that way in the sense you have this, you know, kind of pre-sales, how many people would buy, and then you print that number. And then once it's printed, you have this whole finishing process that sounds very complicated, of polishing them up, painting them, and all the details. Is that right?
Well, for this large one, it may just be a one-off, or I just do three, and I'll probably do those. For the little ones, I send it off to China and have a factory make the little ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say make, you mean that they glue the parts together and paint them?
I just send one prototype to them, and they actually cast them using like a silicone mold, and then pour resin in, and then clean up the parts and assemble them, paint them.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I think we talked about that in that podcast about how you found someone you could trust. That's a great episode. I'll make sure I have a link to that.
And they're able to do it in small batches of a couple hundred?
Yeah. It's actually kind of hard to find a factory willing to make a couple hundred. They usually want like a minimum of 500, you know.
Unfortunately,
this subject matter isn't popular enough to warrant such a large production run.
Right.
However, you have sold out everything you've made.
Yeah, that's one unfortunate thing. I have nothing to sell at the moment.
Yeah.
But why don't you just print out more, and knowing that you'll sell them over a couple of years?
Well, for the little ones, it's a like a 3-month process, and I don't know. I just wanted to take a break from the smaller figures and try this larger thing. But I'll definitely get back to making smaller ones after I've got this print job in for the large statue.
Well, hopefully you'll have some out soon because they're beautiful.
They are.
I have 3 of them, so.
Really yeah, I'm cool. Sorry I didn't send you the Space Hog. It just sold out so fast.
That's good for you.
I apologize.
No, yeah. That's fine. It's really cool looking. That's great. Well, Jared, this has been great having you on. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've always wondered how these things are made, and now I think someone else could probably try their hand at something like this. The weirder, the better.
Absolutely.